A growing number of small and mid-sized communities are harnessing their shared market power to promote local renewable energy. Using a state policy called Community Choice Aggregation, these communities seize greater control over their energy futures by choosing their electricity suppliers or generating their own power. Glenn Weinberg led the charge after New York became the seventh state to adopt a Community Choice Aggregation Policy, or CCA. You'll hear both terms in this podcast. Last year, he helped found Westchester Power, an aggregation of communities with roughly 100,000 customers spread across 20 municipalities north of New York City. It's setting the stage for a renewable energy surge that wouldn't have been possible without it. Glenn recently spoke with John Farrell, who heads the Energy Democracy Initiative at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, about the benefits of community choice aggregation and where it fits into a fast-evolving energy economy.
CCA is a tool to help communities take better control over their local energy sourcing, and they can do that in any way they choose.
This is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories about local renewable energy.
So community choice aggregation allows a city or a collection of cities to decide where their electricity comes from instead of the utility. Now, what would you say is the key reason that a community would want this authority, or maybe conversely, what are the reasons that communities might push back from it?
Yeah, so this is sort of a new opportunity for communities, at least in New York State. So for the most part, there are, of course, municipal utilities. So there are some municipalities throughout the state that are used to being in the energy business, but for the vast majority, this is sort of uncharted territory for them. But they're responding, so they're naturally cautious about taking that step. So a lot of the pushback that we hear from municipal officials and other community leaders with regards to community choice aggregation, or CCA, I'll use them interchangeably, is that this is sort of outside the typical scope of local government, and perhaps even inappropriate scope for local government. And some natural anxiety about the fact that they, as elected officials, have, of course, an obligation to serve the interests of their residents, but that they're not energy experts. We are hopeful to explain through our education and our public outreach that CCA can give them the local autonomy that they want. And when I say that they want, I mean to say that their residents are asking for increased access to markets and for increased control over specifically energy sourcing. More and more communities want their energy to be local, and they want it to be clean. And they want to be able to accomplish both of those goals while still paying a fair, reasonable price. And so community choice aggregation, by aggregating small customers and their demand for energy on a large scale, creates a sort of the buying power necessary to secure that reasonable price, first and foremost, typically a long-term fixed price as well, while simultaneously placing in the hands of the community the authority to dictate the terms under which they buy their energy, including the sourcing. And that's the unprecedented piece here. That's not only access to the market, but leverage in the market that small customers have never had. So that's the really exciting part about community choice aggregation. And that's why communities are jumping in on this opportunity, despite some of their reservations about this kind of, role for the municipality that they're not used to playing.
And as you said, too, there are municipal utilities. In fact, there are over 2,000 of them across the country. So it's not that this is unprecedented kinds of local authority, but that community choice aggregation allows you, the community to make these choices, but without having to buy the whole grid from the utility company and manage that. So it's kind of a nice middle ground in some ways between forming a municipal utility and taking on all of that responsibility, but having some level of local authority.
That's right. And in 99.9% of cases, the municipalities have no interest in being the wires company. or responding to outages and maintaining service over the distribution grid. In 99.9% of the cases, that's not what the community is asking for, right? What they want is control over their supply. So just as you're saying, CCA gives them the ability to address the part that they're interested in and to leave alone the part that they are motivated to leave alone. And of course, from the municipality side, it's a totally different ballgame. So instead of creating a new bureaucratic entity to be a utility on behalf of the municipal residents, in this case, all they are really doing is bringing in an administrator who's an energy market expert that can essentially consult them and represent them in the marketplace so that they can deliver what their residents are asking them to deliver.
So let's talk about some of the aggregation programs that are already out there. A number of the programs, such as those in Illinois, the city is typically just buying electricity from a different supplier. It's different. It is using that local authority, but a lot of these contracts are relatively short term. They do save their customers money with lower cost electricity. Can you share an example, though, of how Westchester Power, which you are the program director for, is doing more than just switching the supplier?
Community choice aggregation continues to evolve both sort of over time and then market by market or state by state. You know, originally started in Massachusetts, it was really a consumer protection, and it remains a consumer protection tool. But it started as a consumer protection tool really to fix rates, to address rate volatility, as well as price, but primarily volatility. And over time, particularly in the California market, it's evolved to do some of those things that we just discussed. In other words, to be a vehicle for access to renewable markets in a way that customers hadn't had before. So that's the model that New York State in general has embraced under REV, or Reforming the Energy Vision, which is the new policy framework that New York has been working towards for several years now and continues to kind of get closer and closer to a vision of a distributed energy landscape that is, you know, 180 degrees from the kind of stagnant monopoly model that defined the electric power industry for the first half century or century of its history. And that's the same spirit under which Westchester Power was started, which was that this was primarily about clean energy solutions for a densely populated suburban area that had really limited access to any sort of local renewable resources. And we're working to change that. And CCA is one way that can accelerate the development of local renewables. But at least in the Westchester case, it starts with a procurement contract under which 2/3 of the roughly 90,000 customers in the Westchester Power Program are buying 100% renewable energy product, which is greened through Greeny certified renewable energy certificates. Mm-hmm. That's a start. And that's a good start. And again, that's really the only viable option available to Westchester residents right now. There simply isn't local renewable resources or distributed energy resources available, certainly not at the scale yet. But the real innovation in the Westchester Power Program was not just large-scale bulk buying of renewable energy certificates, but it was a contract. It was an innovative contract structure that allows for the substitution of the bulk ESCO power that was purchased on behalf of the residents at the start of the contract with any new local renewable power that comes online over the course of that contract. So in our contract, in the Westchester Power contract, it dictates that the supplier must accept any new local generation that comes online that the CCA chooses to integrate, that the municipality or group of municipalities chooses to integrate, and that they will sell off the excess power that they've already purchased. And if they make a profit on that sale, that profit goes back to the community. It doesn't go into the supplier's pocket. So what that does, when it's coupled with a fixed rate contract, which it is in Westchester, it creates a sort of cap. And as fossil fuel prices go up and exceed the price at which the power was purchased at the start of the contract, it actually creates a sort of self-driving accelerator of local renewables, because there's a sort of double benefit to developing local renewables when that fossil fuel price goes higher, because the community, not only is there the benefit that any local renewable can bring to a community and to the grid itself, but also the opportunity for capturing additional value from the sale of that power by the ESCO on behalf of the municipality.
Oh, I think that makes sense. And that's a really intriguing component of the contract. You know, one of the things that has really stymied the development of renewables with the Illinois CCAs has been that their contracts are very short term, you know, only like 2 years. And so they really don't have an option, even in the long run, to consider developing alternative sources locally. So it's great to hear that the design in New York allows not only these longer term contracts, but this substitution concept is terrific. And I think if I grasp it well here, the idea is that if you build, say, a local community solar project, you not only have the offset sales that can be sold on the market and potentially profit the community, but you're also avoiding high-cost fossil fuel energy as well.
That's exactly right. And the additional opportunity associated with specifically community solar, community DG, that's exactly what we're working on now. That's probably our number one challenge, both as a CCA administrator in the market and as a state. And I participate in a CCA working group, you know, convened by the state. And on a conference call just yesterday, this was really the sort of central question, you know, the central theme of discussion, which is especially when you have programs like community distributed generation and CCA, how do you sort of marry the two? Is there a way that a CCA can contract with a CDG developer in such a way that the customers are allocated proper credits, et cetera, and all done seamlessly at greater benefit to both the developer and to the customers as well? So that's exactly the sort of contract innovations and structures that we are working towards right now. And CDG, of course, provides a really great benefit because of the net metering credit. And the net metering credit is transitioning to a new tariff in New York State, but for the time being, net metering is still reigns. The net metering credit, especially in the downstate region where delivery charges are so high, that additional reimbursement, you know, for the delivery portion of the bill makes all the difference, especially to the developer. So there's a lot of CDG projects coming online, and it's the CCA administrator's challenge to figure out how to best integrate that power into their supply mix in a way that can actually deliver lower prices to the customers while still maintaining that value for the developer. And one way in which they can do that is to sit in the customer acquisition, customer management administrative seat. That is a service that renewable developers are prepared to outsource and pay for, but it really eats into the economics of a project. It could cost them up to 20% of the project costs, and it's a major uncertainty for them. And in many cases, the projects won't happen unless that customer acquisition solution is there well ahead of time.
In other words, so you're talking about the CCA, the negotiating entity for the community, can take over that function for the developer and say, you know, we'll help find your subscribers to your project. We'll manage people coming and going from that project. That way you can focus on building solar projects, and, you know, the revenue from that can help offset maybe the cost of the power if it tends to be a little more expensive.
Exactly right. And because the CCA administrator is already doing some of those functions simply with the procurement contract, managing customers, being a customer facing platform, you know, serving customer in the customer service capacity, et cetera, the CCA administrator is in prime position to offer those services at a discounted rate than what is available in the marketplace. And of course, that additional value goes straight to the customers in the form of lower rates.
So let's talk about some other ways that CCAs can help reduce costs for customers. One of the big costs for utilities is supplying power when demand is the highest, you know, when energy use is peaking. You know, one of the things that we've talked about before is this concept of a peak power hour and how a community choice aggregation can help communities cut back use of power during these expensive times.
We ran a small pilot, just a sort of proof of concept in summer of 2016, and looking to ramp up towards a bigger scale in 2017. The concept of a peak power hour program is that the small customers, which are the CCA customers, in other words, residential and very small commercial customers, their capacity tag obligations are allocated or determined algorithmically. They're not actually measured. And they're determined by the peak hourly consumption of the whole grid for the previous year. Or 2016, it was, you know, August 11th at 5 p.m. or whatever it was, 4 p.m. So individual customers can't mitigate those costs in any way. They can't do anything to adjust that cost that might be up to 23-25% of their energy bill. A much larger customer is measured during that hour, and therefore they can take precautions to curtail their usage, their consumption during that hour, intelligently to manage their costs. Small customers can't do that. However, if they are in fact connected or aggregated in a CCA, what they can do is collectively through behavioral change, that is just going around. We don't have smart meters in New York yet for the vast majority of customers. So there's no way to measure at the individual residence, but you can measure at, say, the substation level. And that, of course, doesn't follow municipal boundaries necessarily, but there are ways that you can curtail behaviorally, collectively. In other words, everybody goes, turns everything off, goes out to the movies, and the movie theater offers special discounts. Or they go to happy hour, and the restaurant offers, you know, some happy hour specials for peak power hour. If that kind of behavioral modification results in tangible curtailment at, say, the substation level, and the utility or the grid operator can verify that curtailment, there is a reasonable case to be made to the state regulator that those customers should essentially belong to a new specialized customer class and should receive lower capacity tag allocations than the rest of the grid because they have demonstrated the ability to use less during that critical peak hour.
So this is interesting. It reminds me of something being done by, I think it might be Dakota Electric or another co-op in Minnesota, where they use a lot of social media. They sign people up for text messages. They allow their customers to sort of form groups, almost like little pools, and compete against one another to see who can cut energy use the most during these periods. Again, it's not these very refined, measured tools necessarily, because like you said, they don't have smart meters deployed, but they can see in the aggregate what the impact is.
Yeah, I'd love to learn more about that. That sounds just as, that's how we're doing it, primarily through text message. And coupling a text message with some offer, you know, some motivation, although I love the motivation of competing against other groups, because I think what I've always said about this is that I don't think individuals are primarily motivated by the opportunity simply to save money on their own electric bill. They really get motivated and excited by the opportunity to do something with and as a community. And it's the experience of being part of that, and it's the satisfaction that comes with achieving some tangible goal.
So on the same note of kind of community action to reduce energy costs, you also have talked about demand response. So, you know, these are the ways utilities can cut energy use rather than having the utility fire up another power plant. And just for example, you know, I'm one of tens of thousands of customers that's part of a Minnesota utility program that gives me a bill credit because I let them cycle off my air conditioner on a 15-minute interval on a hot summer afternoon. Is that the kind of thing that you mean when you talk about community demand response, or is it more in the nature of this, you know, kind of community-driven effort around like peak power hour?
Yeah, it's sort of between the two. So that direct load control utility program, that's one way of doing that. And that's, again, that'll be a tariff or a bill credit that comes from the utility. Typically, community demand response, at least the way that we're structuring it in New York, is not a utility incentive or a utility program, but it bids customers as an aggregated group, much in the same way that CCA alone bids customers as an aggregated group onto the wholesale procurement, you know, the supply markets. Community demand response aggregates small customers, again, without any sort of advanced metering at their home or at the building site. But there's a way to model the expected curtailment with a sampling. Some small subset of a larger group is measured, and the profile of the group and the methodology for how the sampling will be executed is submitted to the grid operator, to the New York Independent System Operator, not to the utility, but to the grid operator, who maintains the markets, these demand response markets, primarily capacity markets. So what you can do is you can take 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 homes that, say, have a smart thermostat or multiple smart thermostats or a controllable hot water heater or some other in-home device, not necessarily advanced metering, but a device inside the home that's controllable. You can aggregate the curtailment from all of those sites and bid that curtailment into the capacity markets, as well as other markets and other demand response and ancillary services markets, and get paid for it.
Well, I'm just curious, so what's the particular advantage of a CCA in doing this kind of program? Or is there one, you know, compared to, say, a co-op or a municipal utility? Is there something about the aggregated sort of structure of a CCA that lends itself to doing this more easily?
Yes and no. So I can speak for New York. Nobody is doing this currently, right? And there's reasons why. The costs associated with customer acquisition and marketing, dealing with the commerce of the thermostats, for instance, signing up all the customers, devising a method, a measurement and verification plan, submitting it to the New York Independent System Operator, is typically not worth the revenue that will come from that. Demand response providers are much more likely to go after big C&I, commercial and industrial users, sort of, and collect load that way, where they can get it in big megawatt chunks and not in little kilowatt chunks. However, with the CCA, this sort of model does become attractive because the CCA, much in the same way we were talking earlier about community solar, the CCA administrator is already serving that customer outreach function and is developing relationships with the community and with the customer and is messaging out in the community. So the opportunity to fold in new programs like this, like the smart thermostat demand response or a community solar opportunity, and get customers to sign up through that CCA channel is developing as a sort of trusted source on all things energy for the community. And in many ways, the kind of community-wide energy consultant, then it becomes a viable both economically for the provider and delivers real tangible benefit to the individual customers and potentially to the community as a whole. Secondly, is that you simply need you need the expertise, you need the knowledge in-house for somebody who really knows how to do this. This is fairly complex stuff. It's not prohibitively complex, but it's complex enough that this is not something that a community could sort of do on their own. So it's a particularly appropriate program for a community choice aggregation administrator that has experience and expertise in demand response and ancillary services markets to be able to offer to customers.
You mentioned reforming the energy vision. You know, New York is going through really some pretty remarkable rule changes for the electricity market in terms of introducing competition at the distribution level and looking for ways to govern the market with rules and not with kind of regulatory oversight of monopolies. And so what I'm curious about is, you know, community choice is working in New York because I feel like it naturally fits in with this change in the structure of electricity markets. Does that mean it's not as easy to try to put community choice aggregation in place in other states?
It's certainly easier when the regulatory landscape is working in concert with the community choice aggregation legislation, or in this case, a New York State regulation. That being said, there are community choice aggregation programs in both deregulated and regulated markets. So the California market's really booming. Now, it took a very long time, I mean, comparatively speaking. It took almost a decade to get to the point now where California is really on the cusp of transferring to CCA in a sort of transformative way.
And California, to clarify, is a regulated state, right?
It's a regulated state, and that's why I pointed out, because CCA is not really just for deregulated states, although it's a simpler model. You know, California, the CCAs in California have had to become sort of public agency, not too dissimilar from the utility itself, and become load serving entities, et cetera. And it's taken a long time and it requires a good deal of funding and planning to the order of years, where in a deregulated state, especially in a deregulated state with favorable regulation like New York, it could happen in a matter of months. That being said, I think any state, preferably deregulated, but any state where there is statewide conversation and policy around more aggressive renewable portfolio standards, you know, local clean energy standards, anything like that. And I know, of course, Minnesota is one. CCA is a very viable model, and it can be deployed in any number of ways. So in New York State, it's authorized at the municipal level, so only city, towns, and villages can authorize a CCA program. In other states, you could see it at the county level. It would make a lot more sense at the county level, or some other jurisdictional level. But there's nothing about New York's regulatory transformation that makes it unique in terms of CCA. It just simply makes it a good fertile ground for CCA.
So, Glenn, I want to wrap up with one final question, which is just to give you the floor to say, is there one other kind of remarkable tool or resource of community aggregation that we haven't touched on yet that you think people should know about?
Well, I will just sort of come back to something I teased earlier and tie it back to this New York Rev point, which is that what's going on in New York right now is the transition from a net metering structure in terms of and towards what is called the value of distributed energy resources, not too dissimilar from the value of solar or other, you know, policies and conversations that are happening in other states. But what that intent behind that transition, and it's a controversial one, but the intent behind it, which is entirely consistent with REV in a broader context, which is to more appropriately value local clean energy, local generation, renewable generation, its storage, its energy efficiency, its demand response and peak demand management. It's all of the above. So to answer your question, the potential tool of community choice aggregation is that the CCA entity, whether it be the administrator or the municipality, the CCA entity can serve as a sort of agent and translator for all of this very wonky, very technical, very difficult, very complex stuff for any individual customer to understand, but translate in such a way that they understand what it means if they have an electric vehicle. What if it means if they have rooftop solar? What if it means, what does it mean if they're buying into a community DG project, et cetera, and how to maximize the value that is available to them? The utilities are being, here in New York, are being tasked with creating ways to properly incentivize and value distributed energy resources. And it's going to be a massive collaboration of all sorts of stakeholders over the next decade or more, I'm sure. But in the end, what CCA can do is make sure that the small customers don't get lost and that they don't get taken advantage of and that they don't get left out of the conversation and that they always have a seat at the table because they represent them both with expertise and also they represent such large numbers of those small customers that the utilities and the technology vendors and the regulators have to listen. And that's really an obligation. A solemn sort of vow that the CCA administrator ought to take, that they will ensure that that small customer does not get lost in this process to make a more resilient and distributed grid.
Are there more CCAs coming in the footsteps of Westchester Power in New York?
There are. There's a whole second generation of CCAs, I'm happy to report, that are, you know, at various stages in the implementation process. We, Juul, is working with dozens of them around the state in various little regional groupings. The really exciting part is that they all have their own unique challenges and priorities, ambitions, perspectives, et cetera. I won't go through all of them, of course, but it's just been so incredibly exciting to hear from all of these communities. And you just never know what you're gonna hear when you get to a new community, that they have all these energy challenges that they've been kind of thinking about and feeling frustrated by and hitting dead ends with over the course of several years in many cases. And the great thing about community choice aggregation is that there's no discrete sort of value to CCA on its own. CCA is a tool to help communities take better control over their local energy sourcing. And they can do that in any way they choose. And the best thing that a CCA administrator like myself can do is to just simply listen to the municipalities and structure a program that serves their interests first and foremost.
That was Glenn Weinberg, the former program director of Westchester Power and current director of community energy at Jewel Assets, speaking with ILSR's own John Farrell about community choice aggregation and how it can pave the way for a more renewable and more local energy future. For more information on community choice aggregation, head over to ilsr.org. And while you're there, check out past episodes of the Local Energy Rules podcast. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.